Jessica Stansbury is an absolute boss when it comes to creative passive income. Now, you've probably come across her YouTube content before. She's full of energy and so much fun to speak with, and I had the absolute pleasure of interviewing her when I was over in San Diego a couple months back. During today's episode, we discuss Jessica's creator journey and how YouTube is her biggest love. We also talk about how she gained a whopping 205,000 subscribers. We also explore how she revived her YouTube channel when she felt like it had pretty much died. So reviving a dead channel, guys, completely useful, especially when you listen to this episode and you follow Jessica's tips. She reveals how she deals with haters and why it's important to bring your personality to your channel. We also discuss the troubles of vlogging and how to overcome facing the camera. All right, guys, I'm going to stop babbling now so that you can get to this amazing episode featuring Jessica Stansbury.
Jessica.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining me.
I'm so excited to meet you.
I know. I'm so excited.
Look how cute.
And how lovely is this studio? I might even link to it below, because people who are visually watching this is stunning.
Yes.
I wish I had this in London.
Yes, there's even a bathtub. Like, I feel like we could, like, really get creative.
It's all you need. Bathtub, there's a bed there. There's also a Valentine's Day balloon, which I find a bit unsettling, because did someone, like, hire this out as a hotel room for Valentine's Day?
Probably.
Isn't that a bit weird?
They were getting jiggy in the bed.
Great, so we're not going to go over there.
We're not going to go in the bed.
We're going to stay here.
Yeah, we're probably just going to, I think it'll be better.
I think it'll be safe. Okay, so if someone's listening who has never come across your content, how would you introduce yourself to them?
Well, honestly, like a lot of ways. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like everything is just like a big long answer?
Yes. And then my answer will just depend on like what mood
it
I'm
is.
In.
Yeah.
And like how long you got.
Right. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I teach like YouTube strategy tips, content tips, digital products, passive income. Mm-hmm. I like to say if I'm going to like button it up in like a pretty little, you know, elevator pitch, it's, you know, that I teach passive income so that you can work less and live more.
Love it.
And use your content to sell for you. So that's where YouTube comes in. So if I'm being all fancy, that's what we'd say.
Yeah. Okay, amazing. Could you take me back to like the very, very beginning? Mm-hmm. What was the first channel that you were actually on in terms of social media content?
Facebook probably.
Okay.
No. I just had a...
Are you going to say something like MySpace?
I'm going to say Periscope.
I don't know what that is.
Do you remember? I don't even know that it was outside of the US,
to
be
honest.
I've never heard
of it, yeah.
So, and it's like, I'm dating myself a little bit. But basically, it was like a live video platform. And it was vertical.
I feel like I do know what you mean now.
Yeah. It was vertical. And then Facebook Live came along and killed it. Like, that's basically what happened. Mm-hmm. And I believe Twitter bought it. And then they just, like, got rid of it eventually. Mm. But that's where I built, a good... my first 100, 200 people probably.
Wow.
And then I moved them to Facebook. And then that everything was changing so quickly then. This was like 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. Everything was changing so fast that I went from Facebook to Instagram and then YouTube in 2016. So it was like very quick, you know?
Yeah. So when were you were back on like your Periscope days, were you talking about the same type of content that you are now?
Kind of. Okay. I think I did sometimes, but most of it was like web design and techie stuff.
Oh.
So I was a web designer back then. And so when I would put content on the internet, it would be like, oh, let me show you how to do this like cool thing that nobody knows how to do except for nerdy web design people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that was the kind of stuff I was talking about. But I did get into like email marketing and sales funnels and things like that because my background's in marketing anyway. And then I had been in business 6 or 7 years at that point, but like really hadn't been online.
Right.
And so I was starting to like share more of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So when you say in business, do you mean you had already had your own business for 6 or 7 years before you even started using social media?
Yes.
Okay. And what was that business?
Web design. Okay. Which sounds insane to say I wasn't online. But it like wasn't as much of a thing. Also, I had little tiny babies.
Mm.
So I was like, I started my business as a web designer because my oldest son was born and I did not want to like leave him.
Yes.
I was like, oh my gosh, I can't stand the thoughts of being in corporate America, leaving this baby and like doing a job I hate, you know? And so that's how it kind of started because I had those skills like in my back pocket. Mm. I had had a photography business in college, like different things like that. And so, so I started a web design company in 2010, late 2010, early 2011 and had that until 2015. And so at that point, what had happened was I was facing the conversation of when my kids go back to school, what am I going to do?
Right.
because they were, let's see, 2015, they were 5 and 2, 2.5. Mm. And my husband would have, we would have these conversations and be like, well, when you go back to work, because I wasn't making any money. Mm. I mean, I was designing a website here and there and I wasn't like really doing anything, you know? And so I was like, no.
Excuse me.
Absolutely not. Who said I was going back to work? Are you crazy? And so I think I had like a moment where I was like, I have to figure this out. Like, I know there's a possibility here. I just don't know what it looks like. And that's when I found Facebook groups that were like very business oriented and all of that, and podcasts. Mm. And they were still pretty new back then, at least business podcasts. Mm. And so I was like, okay, like if they can do it, I can do it. And what really gave me the catalyst was listening to a podcast. So I had always, do I sound different to y'all? Like Southern, like, can you tell difference in my accent? Okay.
Yes.
Like, cause I don't know if you're not like, if you have the standard American accent, if you even hear it.
I can really, really hear the difference between like a lot of American dialects.
Yes.
I think because we watch a lot of American TV. Right. So yeah.
Right. And so like as a Southerner, like with a thick accent, I had always been told like, you can't do that. Like you can't have that accent and be taken seriously or yes, in college. I had a broadcasting class and the broadcasting professor the very first day, because it was in my area. I was in my area. And so everybody talked like me, you know, and he walked in, he was like, if y'all want to be on radio or TV any day, like you cannot have that accent.
Really?
Yes. So we'd been told our whole lives that like, I couldn't sound like this and be successful,
right,
at least like using my voice, you know? And so I had always kind of hidden from being on social media or anything like that. And I listened to this podcast and there was a girl who sounded like me, and she was also a web designer, and she was like making multiple six figures a year. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. You're like, it's possible.
If she can do it, I can do it. And that was kind of the catalyst that made me say, okay, I've got to figure this out. And my business grew exponentially after that point.
Yeah. I love that. I always talk about the importance of representation online, because you saw someone who was doing that and then it made you realize that you could do it. And there'll be countless others who would have seen and heard you and been like, wait a minute, that means I can do it.
Yes.
Like, it's so powerful
and
it's so important. And it just takes a few people to break the mold and just do that. So amazing that you did it. All right. So if we go back to Periscope days, you've started to use social media as a way to promote your business. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then how did your kind of business evolve from web design to what you do now?
Yeah. So I started putting tutorials on YouTube.
Yeah.
As just kind of a way to put tutorials on YouTube. Like not, I wasn't trying to be a YouTuber, right? And so I started putting all these like technical things, like how to make a button in ConvertKit. Mm. I don't know, before it was like a thing that you could do. Or how to make a pretty signature in Gmail, like all of those types of things. And they started to take off. And I was like, huh, weird. You know, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah.
And so I started doing more of that and getting more traction. And then I was like, okay, I could create courses. I could create digital products. Like I could create all these things. And I hated client work.
Right.
So I was like,
this is the way.
let me try it. And we went from there and it just kind of evolved. So I started YouTube in 2016. And I took my last web design client at the very end of 2016.
Okay.
So I was transitioning into courses at that point.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. And then in terms of your relationship with social media from then, is that when YouTube became like one of your main platforms?
It is.
You say?
Yeah, it is. I grew on YouTube without trying to grow on YouTube. Did you do that? Like, does everybody do that?
No.
You were like purposeful with it. Yeah.
I wish. No.
You're like, no. I wish I did that. No.
Yeah.
Like, I was just putting stuff up there because I knew it was good for SEO on my website. Like, you know, to embed the videos. And I logged in one day. I have no idea why. And I logged in and I had 500 subscribers. And I was like, where did y'all come from? And I was like, okay, if I can get 500 subscribers without trying, what can I do if I do try?
Yeah.
And the next year I went from 500 to 30,000.
Wow.
Right. And so that was definitely my main platform at that point. I've always had Instagram, just like everybody else, as like a secondary platform for me. And I'm there and I love it and I create on it. But YouTube has always been the main platform from that moment on.
What were some things that you did that got you from that 500 number to 30,000 in a year?
Just taking it serious. I think that was like the biggest thing. Becoming a student of it. So I went to a retreat. It wasn't a retreat, like an intensive for YouTubers. Like, you know. Yeah, it was like fun. It was Tim Schmoyer. I don't know if you know Tim or not. He sold his company last year. So he's on the downslope of like not being a YouTube person, you know. Tim Schmoyer, Daryl Eves that runs VidSummit.
Oh, yes.
He was there and several others.
Yeah.
And it was just this, you know, I don't remember how much I paid, but it was a lot. Mm. And it was like this intensive to go and learn. And I did that. And I just like made myself a student of the platform. Mm. And from that point, it just took off. Like I would basically like, oh, well, okay. I think I did well with thumbnails this last month. What can I improve on now?
Yeah. Well, as we're on the subject of your YouTube channel, I saw a video of yours recently where you spoke about the fact that you felt like your channel had died and you had to like bring it back from the dead. Can you tell me what happened?
Yeah, I think I just got stale. I think I got stagnant. Mm. I was doing the same thing over and over again, you know, like we all do.
Yeah,
we chase the analytics.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, that topic does well. Let me do more of that. And I had done that over and over and over again. And the people who were subscribing weren't coming back for future videos. That was the main like thing I noticed. I'm like, okay, most of my views are from not subscribed people or brand new people, you know, the subscribers that have been here are not watching. Mm. And so I'm like, how can I infuse more of my personality back in so that they want to come back for every video? Even if they don't necessarily care about the topic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I basically just got stale. I just treated it like, this is what I've always done. I've been on YouTube since 2016. Like, let's just do the same thing.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work.
Yeah. You said something there that I think is so important because I don't think we talk about this enough. But when you are quite niche down, like we are, and when our content is focused on the value of educational value over anything else, if you go down that route and then you don't bring your personality in, you simply become a place for people to consume and learn one thing. So if they come to your content and they subscribe to you to learn how to upload better stories and then they learn it, they're never coming back because they don't have an attraction to you. There's nothing there. And which is why I always notice, like, for example, view count on channels like ours will drastically vary because most of the time our views are depending on what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like if it's trending, then it's going to do well.
Yeah.
And then you have other people, I have friends who are vloggers and their views are like 10K every single time, 40K every single time because people are there for them and they know the format and they're like, I just want to see your day. Yep. I don't care where you are. Yeah. I don't care what you're doing in the day. I'm here for you and your day. And it has so much power in doing it that way, but also a lot of power in our way. And I always just think there's no one way of doing it, but I don't think we talk about the negative of our way very often.
Yes.
You know?
For sure. I mean, I completely agree. And we also become like an information like hub, and that's all we are. Mm-hmm. We're not there for entertainment, even though we try to be. Mm. We're there for information.
Yeah.
And then at that point, people are like, oh, I don't, like, I only cared about that one thing.
Yeah.
Like, you could talk about this other thing, but I don't care.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like trying to merge the two.
Yeah.
You know?
It's difficult.
It's so difficult. Mm. It's so hard. It's one of those things that's like, you know, I don't know exactly the best way to do it still yet.
Yeah.
But I've done better. And I've like tried to like really not be that like just talking head, like talking about the thing I want to be a personality that people care about.
Yeah.
Because there's people that I watch like that, you know?
Yeah, same.
I'm like,
I actually crave people like that. Like that's, I love watching that type of content.
Me too.
Yeah. I understand, like I'm in the exact same situation. Mm-hmm. I share a lot of, well, not a lot of, but I'm trying to share more like behind the scenes vlog style content. And I've had that as an objective for so long. And then I start and then I psych myself out because I'm like, or I could do this video and it will do way better.
Yes.
So I have to like draw myself back and be like, no, the purpose of this isn't to go viral. Like this video isn't going to get a lot of views. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Because then the people in your audience who want to get to know you better, they love that video.
Yes.
And the engagement is always so much higher. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be people who don't want it though. I uploaded a video recently and I got a comment where I was like, this sums it up. There was two comments back to back, like the first two comments. One was like, I love that you're sharing this. Like, give us more. Like, I want more.
Yes.
And the other one was like, I hate this.
Yes.
I just want to like learn from you. Don't do this again.
If that's that's not YouTube, I don't know what is, yeah. You know? With my educational videos, I'm trying out a new editing technique and a new editor. Ooh. And it's like overly edited almost. Yeah. And I was like, oh, let's just try it out and see how it goes, right? Mm. And the comments are ridiculous. They're just like that.
Yeah.
Like, I love this so much. I hate you. Yeah. I will never watch another
video. I'm unsubscribing.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, the vlog part comes, like, it doesn't come as natural.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't start that way. I think if I would have started that way, it would come more natural. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I'm really like hard on myself in a vlog style. I'm like, oh, I don't like that angle. I don't like the way I'm sitting. I don't like the way, you know?
Yes.
And I like cut all of it out and then I have no vlog left.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm trying to be better about that. Like I literally, like in the vlog that I'm shooting at this, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I don't care. If I don't like it, I don't care. Like, I'm just going to have to go and like put on blinders and be like, okay, oh, well, please don't say anything that like hits my insecurities. Thank you. But they need it. They need that connection, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I agree. And there is so much to be said for the angle thing. Yes. This really shocked me. When I did my first vlog, I was like, oh my God, because you're so used to seeing yourself in one angle, not moving.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I'm seeing every other angle and I'm like, dear God, these are terrible.
Yes. And I'm like, oh, I look like my mom, like from the, you know, from a certain angle, or my sister. And I'm like, where did that I mean, I know I look like my mom, but I'm like, I don't know that I look that much like my mom. So I just, yes, I totally feel it. I mean, I really do. I took a video of me speaking this morning and it was a terrible angle and I knew it was, but I didn't have a better place to put my camera. Yeah. It was like on the chair shooting up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's terrible, but I'm like, I'm committed to sharing this content. Yeah. Like, and please don't say anything mean.
Yeah. You know for sure.
Because the internet's like a mean place
anyway.
It's
a mean place.
Yeah.
And that actually brings me on to a question that I get asked very often. You might get the same one. Yeah. How do you deal with like an influx of negative feedback and comments?
So with YouTube, I got out of my comments a long time ago.
Really?
Yes. So I will stay for the first like 24 hours, 12, 24
hours.
Because
that's usually like your biggest support.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like my people. It's not usually like random trolls on the internet, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'll usually stay and like answer the best I can. And then my team jumps in. And I've done that since like 2018 probably.
Really? That's so interesting.
Yeah. And now Instagram, I don't really get a lot of negative comments. And if I do, I just block. I'm pretty good to just be like, meh, go away.
Yeah.
And TikTok is one where I'm like, I'm not even ready to go here.
TikTok is the Wild West.
Yes. Yes. And I'll do content there and I get the negative comments and I like, it's harder there, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the Wild West of the internet.
Yeah,
and
it
so
is.
I'm like, you know, I don't think this is for me.
Yeah.
I think I'll just go with Instagram and TikTok or
and
YouTube.
Yeah.
But I have pretty thick skin anyway. I'm not someone who gets like super in my feels about it. I'll usually make an example of them. Like I'll screenshot it and like go on my stories and be like, this turd face just commented this. And so I try not to get in my feels, but at the same time, you have to put protection in place to protect your peace, right?
Yes, of course.
If you're constantly reading like, oh, you suck or, you know, whatever. At one point, this woman was dedicated to telling me that if I didn't stop like raising my eyebrows, I was going to have a wrinkly forehead.
Oh, like, God forbid. Oh, and then what?
Heaven. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, my God. Not a wrinkly forehead. No. You know?
Oh,
and I was like,
so
you want me to be a robot and not just like just sit here and like not do anything?
Yeah.
And I kind of just gave up that kind of stuff. And yeah, I give it to my team and I let them kind of handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting.
Guys, I'm interrupting my own podcast. I know how rude of me, but I just need to tell you about something. So you may not know this, but there are hundreds of creators who are currently growing their online audience. Yes, even on a social media platform like Instagram, they're earning hundreds, if not thousands of pounds per month through social media alone. And they are creating better content while spending less time on content creation. I know that sounds like that's not possible, but I'm here to tell you that it 100% is. And they're doing all of this with the help of The Collective. Now, The Creator Project Collective is our digital membership and mobile app, which is responsible for so many creators fast-tracking their journey. We're able to help creators do this by offering continuous support, whether it's bi-weekly coaching opportunities with guest experts, or simply giving creators the opportunity to get their burning questions answered. Creators are also getting access to an entire library of masterclasses, including deep dives into topics such as how to work with brands, brands, how to diversify your income, or how to really grow on YouTube. All the way through to our quick bites, which are mini lessons where we answer your questions in 5 minutes or less. We're also helping creators grow, and we're doing this by giving them the opportunity to collaborate with other content creators and also giving them promotional opportunities to help spread the word of their content as well. And speaking of collaborations, we also send weekly brand partnership opportunities directly to creators so they don't need to waste any time trying to figure out where their next brand partnership is going to come from. Honestly, there's so much more, but I know that you're keen to get back to the episode. So I recommend that you head to the link in the show notes, join the collective. It only takes a few minutes, and then you'll have every single thing that you need to grow an audience and earn an income. Thank me later.
So as we already said, you went through a phase where you felt like your YouTube wasn't performing super mm-hmm. well. If there's anyone listening who is either going through that phase now or who might experience it in the future, what advice would you give to them?
Yeah, to really take a step back and be super self-aware mm-hmm. of why. Because mm-hmm. there's always a reason, right? Yeah. There's always something. And like I say, for me, I could tell immediately. I'm like, I'm just doing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And people are not coming back for me. Mm-hmm. And I need that in there, you know?
Yeah.
But the biggest thing, I think, beyond like just being aware and kind of recognizing what's going on so you can fix it, is to know that a dead channel can be revived. Mm-hmm. I've done it 1,000 times, like literally 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I've done it for clients. I've done it for myself. I've done it in different phases for different reasons. So like I just recently tried out having contributors on my channel.
Okay.
Yeah. Like from August to November, mm-hmm. probably October. And it went horribly. It was terrible.
Really?
And yes. I mean, my analytics just like everything tanked, which I know why. I mean, I knew that. I knew it was going to. It's not like I didn't.
Yeah.
And at the time I was burnt out, and I kind of didn't realize I was burnt out. And I was like, oh, just screw it. I don't even care like what happens to my channel, and I just like whatever. Mm. And then I realized I was burnt out, and I realized that I did care about my channel and did not want it to die again. So I like revived it again in the last couple months. And so it's okay. It's not like a dead body, right? Like it can be revived and it's okay.
Yeah. That's going to be so reassuring for so many people. I remember the first time I ever experienced like a real dip and then it going back to normal was such a life-changing moment, because I was like, oh, okay, it's not permanent.
Right. Like, okay,
it's
going to
be okay.
Yeah.
So every time I have a dip now, I'm like, it's fine because I know that it can go back up.
Yes.
But for some people, if they've not experienced that yet, either because they've just been smooth sailing or they've not started, that first dip can get in, can really like mess with your head.
Yes.
So it's going to be so reassuring for people to hear.
Yes.
It's not the end of the world.
No, it's not. And there's also times when we're all dipping.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just seasonal.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's normal. It's totally normal. And YouTube, such a marathon that like you're gonna go through those phases, you know.
Yeah.
I've never run a marathon before, but I don't like to run. My legs are too short. I'm like so I've never run a marathon before, but I would imagine that there's times in a marathon when you feel like you're about to die.
Yeah.
You feel like you're about to fall over, you know? And
yeah, I mean,
it's
I haven't
just like
also,
that.
By the way, I've never.
No.
Although I do have those moments in a 5K run.
Yes.
Where
no,
I'm like,
same.
I can't do this.
Same. I ran a 5K recently and I was like, you know, this doesn't feel good.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something is wrong.
I'm like, I don't know that this was what I should have done today. I think I should have just like stuck to my normal workout and not decided to run a 5K. Yeah, totally.
So obviously now you run a very successful business. YouTube is part of that. Mm-hmm. How does YouTube work in your overall business? Like what role does it play for you?
It's basically top of the funnel.
Yeah.
So, and I'd say it's that way for everybody, honestly, but maybe some people don't know that it's top of their funnel, right?
Yeah.
So it's basically top of the funnel. I do the content for the people who I want in my audience, who I want to be there, who I want to buy my things. Maybe they don't know that they need it yet. And maybe they're 3 steps back and I need them to get further a little bit. And so that's where that stands. And so that's why like I promote my like offers and my freebies and things to get them down the funnels.
Yeah.
And my podcast sits kind of like middle of the funnel.
Right. Right.
And so that's kind of how,
everything
you know, how
works.
It all flushes out. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's so good to hear. You are just really good at showing up exactly as yourself. You know, when you meet someone and you're like, oh no, I really do feel like I've met you before, because it's, you're exactly the same.
Yeah.
How do you do that? I know for some people it feels effortless.
Yeah.
And then for others, they're like, how do I relax on camera?
Yeah.
Like, how do you do it?
It is effortless for me. I was actually talking last night to Kathy Olsen that we had dinner with. And after the dinner, we were talking about something else. And I was like, she said that somebody told her once, like, you're the same online or you're the same in person as you are online. I'm like, I get that every time I'm anywhere. Like, people are like, you're the same person. I'm like, I don't know how to be any different.
Yeah, you're like, and that's what I've been.
And, but I will say, like, if you watch my old content back, you can tell I was like, corporate Jessica, right? Or like fancy, not fancy, but like trying to be perfect Jessica. And so I think it comes with time. I think that's more than anything, it comes with time. And I also think that, like, if you're really introverted, some people need an online persona to kind of get them out of that, you know, like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to, whatever. And so that's, I think that's okay. I think it just can't be that far disconnected from what your true personality is. Otherwise, it's going to come off like super inauthentic.
No, I love that. And I think I completely agree with that as well. And I know what you mean. Sometimes when I have the conversation specifically around authenticity, and then sometimes I just think, I think we're all overthinking it because to be authentic is literally just to be yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Just
you don't actually have to try to do anything. It's the opposite.
Just live.
Stop trying.
Just like go live your life. And I do think it is more natural to some people than it is to others, you know. But like I say, I think the more you do it and the more you like, okay, well, for instance, like I just said about the angles, like I'm really bad to just trash footage because I don't like the angles or whatever. And so to be authentic, you know, like I can get past that. So that's like my struggle right now that I'm going after. And so there's there might be like little pieces like. Why do I say this word when I normally would say this word or whatever that you can kind of work on as you go through it?
And I am experiencing something similar. When I vlog, I find myself not acting as naturally as I would normally because again, we both started with like talking head. So get me to do a talking head and I feel completely relaxed. Get me to walk down the street with a camera and I am like stiff and on edge. And it's so hard to get myself to like be like, be yourself. So we just experience similar challenges, but in different ways, depending on who you are.
And we were talking last night at dinner. It is 2024 and it's like people act like this is their first time on earth and they've never seen somebody pull out a camera and like see somebody create content, even though literally everybody does now, you know? And so when you're getting funny looks, that can even make it worse. And I know for me, I live in a small town. So it was like, it was, it's harder and easier at the same time because it's harder because literally everybody that walks by me on the street, if I'm vlogging, knows me. You know, if I'm vlogging in the grocery store, people know me. Like I'm not seeing strangers, you know? And so for me, it was like getting comfortable there, you know? And I know like for me, especially in my small town, I'm like, I mean, this is going to sound pretentious, but I'm making more money than all these people looking at me funny. You know what I mean? So like, I don't care that they are looking at me funny, you know? And that was something I had to really like work on. And once I worked on it around my local people, it came more naturally, like, around other people.
I feel like that would be the hardest. I, for example, when I'm in a different country, I find it easier. So, like, me being here and I'm like, okay, well, I don't know anyone. So I couldn't imagine, obviously, I'm from London. It's anything but small. But I couldn't imagine being somewhere where everyone I'd ever, like, grown up with are very close to me. And then I've got a vlog as well. I freak out about that now when I'm in London and I'm like, it's huge. I freak out about that in London. And like, I know I rarely bump into people because it's so big, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, you might walk past your entire class from school.
No, and
they might just be there.
And that's a real thing where I live, like real. I was out filming not long ago and I had hired a videographer to like do some B-roll. Is basically what it was. So we were like walking through town doing B-roll. I got like 8 messages. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Oh
hey,
gosh.
I just saw you in town. And I'm like, it's like a, you know? But I also know I have to do it because then it makes me more comfortable all the way around. Like way more comfortable. And then what's really cool though, what I've noticed is that like the people who do see you doing it, the people in your real life, they may not say it and they may say the opposite of it, but they're actually like, wow, I wish I could do that. You know? That's what I've noticed more than anything. I will have like fangirls that I went to high school with and that is so weird. You know? And it's just like, I wish I could do that. Like, that's what they'll say. I wish I could do that. Like, I wish I could, you know, whatever. And so, I don't know. I think there's a beast that we all have to kind of tackle to get more comfortable. And it's different for all of us. And
Yeah, and it rears its head in different ways for all of us.
Like, I'm less comfortable filming, like this here, like in a setting where more people are doing it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm the opposite. Yes. Please? Yeah. Beast just wearing its head in different ways for different people.
I know, it's super weird. And I'm like, you're an idiot, Jessica. What are you doing? Because like everybody has a camera here, you know? But yeah, it's just a funny thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's really interesting. Yeah. So, because you've been working with kind of creators and entrepreneurs and business owners for a while, what are some challenges that you're starting to see them experience? Maybe some that are a bit more recent?
Yeah.
Because things are changing so rapidly all the time.
Yes. I think that things don't work like they used to would be like the biggest thing, especially in the like sales world.
Okay.
So circa, you know, pre-2020, you could do a webinar and get hundreds, thousands of people on there, and you could convert at this rate and you could do this thing, and now they don't convert as high. Yeah. You can't get as many live people. People are like, they're aware now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They know. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
And especially like after 2020, everybody did a webinar for everything. Mm-hmm. Like you had to do a webinar to like send your kids to school because nobody was in person, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, I think people they're just aware. And so I think a lot of it is like sales changes or the way things used to work don't work as well anymore. And that's like a big struggle, especially when you've been in it a while and you're used to like, oh, I could host a webinar and have 1,000 people and convert 300 of them. And now you're like, oh, shoot, that did not work like I wanted it to, you know? I'd say that's the biggest one that I see right now because people have been in the industry a while and it's like, okay, what are we doing?
If this isn't working, then what is going to work now?
Yes.
Have you seen anything that has been working more recently, like any changes in strategies?
Yeah, I think it all still works.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. It all still works. It's just that we can't have the same expectations that we had before.
Yeah.
And so I think lower cost things work better now because people are, one, we're in a recession, which we are. I don't know that you are.
are we in a recession, Jamie?
Yes.
My husband is nodding.
Yeah.
So yes,
he's like,
we are.
Yes, we are. So I think that's a big part of it is people aren't going to spend $10,000 on like a big mastermind, you know, but they'll spend $100 on something. And so I think getting smaller offers, getting things that are cheaper is what's going to work right now.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree. I also think even in terms of smaller offers usually require less of people's time.
Yeah.
And usually might get them a smaller result, but we'll still get them a result. And I think that has also changed with time as well, because I started my business during the pandemic. Mm. So I didn't really know a life before that, but it was when people had a lot more time. So saying to someone, hey, we're going to do a group coaching program.
Yeah.
I need 15 hours a week of your time. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, cool, I'll make it work.
Yeah.
Telling someone that now, they'd be like, no.
Please don't.
I have plans. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I
Which
have a
fair.
Life. Yeah. I don't need to spend 15 hours a week. Yeah. Yes, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And I think I saw you on your stories. Are you doing like live workshops? Multiple of them.
Yes.
I think that works better now than it even did like 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because people can expect you to show up live. There's not like, oh, I missed it because I had to be at work or, oh, I missed it because I'm in a different time zone or like whatever. You can actually like accommodate most of that by doing the lives.
Yeah.
And so I do think that works a lot better. You'll have to let me know how that goes.
Yeah, I'll let you know. But yeah, I purposely did want to do that because I've been doing a few live events previously, not even to necessarily promote something in the past, just as like a community building and getting sponsors for it. And it's always really fun. But the biggest problem I have is that I have a global audience and it is impossible. It's impossible to find a time. And I always get messages from people being like, why would you plan an event at 2 a.m.? And I'm like, my love, it's not 2 a.m. everywhere.
I know it was 2 a.m. for you.
Never
I'm
have
so
done
sorry.
That if it was 2 a.m. for everyone.
Yeah.
So it's so difficult. So yeah, that's why I'm doing 6 different times.
Yes.
And I'm still getting people being like, the times aren't working.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, there really has to be a limit. There's only so much
like,
I can do.
You can't do everything.
No.
You can't be everywhere.
Like every hour I'm like on another one.
And I could see you like doing some of them in the US and then like going to another country and be like, okay, fine. I'll do them here.
Yeah.
And then going to this country. Okay, fine. I'll do them
just
here.
A world tour.
Yeah. You should be
every
like
time
the Jade
zone.
Tour.
I mean, I would genuinely love that, but I would also probably burn out at some point, you know.
Yes.
I'm not
You'd
Beyonce.
Be like, no.
Taylor Swift.
No, they are superhuman.
Yes.
I'm convinced.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
She literally, did you see the footage where Taylor Swift was like hugging Travis Kelce after the Super Bowl?
No.
And he was like, how are you not Jet lagged. Oh. Yeah, tired. Well, yeah, but jet lagged because she had just come from Japan.
Oh.
Literally flew like 24 hours or whatever it is to Vegas and then was there for like 6 hours before the Super Bowl.
Oh
so
my
like
gosh.
Super crazy.
Yeah.
And she had done like 3 shows in a row, you know, and he's like, how are you not jet lagged? And she said to him, jet lag is a choice.
Wow.
Yes. And I was
that
like,
that feels like a slap in the face.
No,
it feels personal.
Right?
That.
And it's like, yeah, jet lag is a choice when you have a private plane that has a bed in
Look,
it.
Coming from someone who is currently experiencing some major jet lag,
yes.
We are either 8 hours ahead or 8 hours behind here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Big time difference.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, Taylor, if you're listening, it is not a choice.
No.
I have not had the option to choose.
No.
But I mean, I guess for her job, it would need to be a choice.
You'd have
because
to.
How
You'd
on
have
earth
to
would
figure
she do
it out,
it?
I
yeah.
think.
Yeah.
Her and Beyonce both. But
yeah,
also,
literally.
Like, they have way more resources
yeah.
than 99% of people do.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So
they,
it's like,
they
okay.
weren't next to me in economy on the way over. I'll
right.
tell you that much.
Right.
They weren't
like,
there.
No, they weren't. And when they, you know, get off the plane, they're waiting with like the IVs and the,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know, the everything
yeah.
that, like,
well,
we
I'm
could
in passport
do.
Control for
yeah.
an hour.
yeah.
And they're like already on their way to the hotel with
yes.
an IV and like a bed.
yes. And we could do it, but we'd have to arrange it all ourselves.
Yeah.
And we'd have to, like, and it's, yeah,
it's not
ridiculous.
The same.
No.
That's so funny, though.
Yeah.
Okay, gosh, I'm having such a great conversation, but I do know that we will have to wrap up.
Yeah.
So I do have a kind of parting question for you.
Okay.
In your journey so far, what has been the biggest challenge that you've experienced and how have you overcome it?
I think just staying relevant. I was just having this conversation last night.
That's such a good one.
Yeah, I've been in the universe here since 2015, 2016. Mm. And a lot of the people that like I started with are gone. Like they're just, I don't know where they went, but they left.
They're not there.
They didn't announce their departure. They just left,
yeah.
you know. Or a lot of them have went through a ton of iterations. And I have too, but like, you know. And so it's like, at what point do I not
yeah.
be relevant anymore? And so staying relevant and staying someone who people want to speak at their conference or people want to come up and meet or people want to watch on YouTube or whatever. It is one of probably the biggest struggles
yeah.
that I have, especially the longer time goes on. I'm like, okay, how do I keep it relevant? You know,
how do you approach that?
Yeah. It's kind of like day by day,
yeah.
honestly. For me, it's like, okay, it is my personality to not, I don't ever want to act old. We were talking about this
yeah,
before
we
recorded, but like, I still feel like I'm in high school
yeah.
and I'm not. I have a kid that's about to be in high school. So like, it's not, yeah. And so for me, it comes pretty natural to kind of stay up to date and stay with
yeah.
all of the things. And so I think if I just kind of ride that natural inclination, I'm okay.
Mm.
But really also being aware of like what is happening. Like, you know, yeah, I used to like not being the person who's like, oh, I'm on Facebook and I'm never going anywhere else, you know,
yeah.
or YouTube
yeah.
or Instagram. I mean, if they start to trickle out, being okay, being like, okay,
maybe time to move
yeah.
on to something else.
Yeah, and it's hard, but I've seen a lot of platforms
yeah.
change and be different and need something else from us as creators. Instagram's a great example,
yes.
you know, and just like being different and being okay with like being that way and not
yeah.
getting stuck in my ways.
Yeah.
You know,
that's actually such an incredible mindset. And because you've gone through so many different iterations,
mm-hmm.
you already have that skill set to be
yeah.
able to do that. So you're so resilient
mm-hmm.
and that is really going to be the thing that kind of gets you there.
Yeah,
and
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I am so.
Yeah, I mean, I have complete faith.
Okay,
take
good.
I'll be looking to you to be like, Jessica,
yeah.
help.
It's weird. I mean,
yeah.
a lot of the girls we were at dinner with last mm-hmm. night, I've met them early on and it's like, We had a lot of conversations like, how are we staying relevant?
Yeah.
Like, how does that happen? And I think it's different for every industry too, and
mm-hmm.
every like person and what platforms they're using and all the things. And I don't have good advice, unfortunately, because I just hit it as it comes,
yeah.
you know, like,
yeah.
okay, I can't do it that way anymore. I need to do it this way or whatever.
Okay, amazing. Well, thank you so
yes.
much for sharing.
Yes.
What a great conversation. I will put links to all your channels
Perfect.
Below so that if anyone who doesn't know you, they will know you by the end of this.
Yeah.
Don't worry. But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I'm really sad we didn't do this from the bathtub, but...
Next time.
Okay, next
yeah,
time.
That's part two.
Yeah, without the Valentine's one.
<Yeah.
laughs> Thank
yeah,
you for having me.
Because that's what's going to make it
yeah,
weird.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jade.
You've just listened to an episode of The Creator Project. We upload new episodes every single week, so if you've not hit that subscribe or follow button yet, then what are you doing? Be sure to hit subscribe or follow before you leave so that you don't miss out on our new content. If you feel like supporting our podcast, we would absolutely love it if you could leave us a review and share our podcast with someone else who might get value from it. Don't forget to hit us up on our socials. Links can be found in the show notes. Thanks again. We'll speak soon.